This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Hi, this is your host, Zoe Gabrielson. I'm Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council, and this is our weekly show where we talk about sustainability initiatives on campus that have been funded by the SSC. You're listening to Green Talks on WRFL Lexington. Today, I'm joined by Harrison, a representative from FarmBot, which is a project at UK that I'm going to let him talk more about. So welcome, Harrison.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, first of all, can you give our listeners an introduction of kind of who you are and what your project is?
Yeah, so I'm Harrison Strantz, a student here at UK, and FarmBot is pretty much an automatic gardener. It can grow certain crops from seed to harvest without any human intervention. Given the seeds in a bin, it can pick the seeds up and plant them where the owner of the bot wants them to be planted, and the FarmBot tends to plant every day. When it's time to harvest, the bot will actually send a push notification to your phone. It sounds like the future. However, the current build plans only support up to like a maximum garden area of approximately 5 to 10 feet, or the extra large version of FarmBot at approximately 10 to 20 feet. And it was built for the average person to grow their own fruits and veggies at home. And it's a great and greener for the environment than going to the store to buy produce, because in the long run, it pays for itself in a few years. And that's FarmBot in a nutshell.
Well, that's cool. It sounds, like you said, very futuristic. So how did you first find out about this project?
So I was flipping through a tech news feed that I like to browse often and stumbled upon an article about FarmBot. I was intrigued. So I knew of a few different types of agriculture robots hitting the farm scene, but I never heard of an ag robot that I could put in my backyard. I've always wanted to garden, but I've never wanted to garden. I saw gardening as another chore to my day, and just when I was going to the grocery store anyway, I might as well just pick up my produce there. But then FarmBot solved the daily chore of gardening by turning it into something like, okay, FarmBot, here are the seeds. Text me in a few weeks. How cool is that?
That's awesome. So you talked about how you found out about the technology, but how did you come to create the organization of FarmBot Wildcats?
So another one of my interests is helping people. And so for a while, I was donating to an organization that fights hunger called Food for the Hungry. And at the same time, about four times a year, I was going downtown to the rescue mission as a volunteer to play a music set and help feed the homeless. And according to FAO.org, which is the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, in 2017, approximately 820 million people suffered from hunger around the globe. And I ask, why in 2018 is the world still going hungry? Like, have we not been fighting hunger since humanity's beginning? We have solved more problems than we can count, but not one of the oldest problems of mankind. So I thought, could we be fighting hunger the wrong way? And then so it didn't dawn on me until my first year and first semester at the university. So what if I started a student organization that focused on using robotics to grow food for the hungry? The following semester, I asked some friends that were also intrigued by FarmBot, and we founded FarmBot.Wildcats. And the point of the organization is to connect students with FarmBot, and at the same time, all the food grown in the organization is donated to charity.
That's awesome. So it kind of hits those different boxes that the SSC looks for in their proposal. So things like student impact, where your students in the organization are getting to be involved, and then also community impact. So with that in mind, what are your organization's short to midterm goals?
Some short to midterm goals that we have currently been focusing on and that are going to focus on. So our first goal as a new organization founded just last spring was to first solicit the funding for a FarmBot. And that second, the second goal, but equally as important as the first, was to find space for the FarmBot to set it up permanently. I can gratefully report that the organization was able to secure funding through the Student Government Association with a grant combined with an anonymous lender. And we were able to secure land with space to grow through the university's College of Agriculture. Another goal was to find a bank account to store and track incoming and outgoing funds. But to do this, we had to register our organization with the Secretary of State of Kentucky. And we are registered as a nonprofit with the state and the IRS. And now the next administration goal is to become a 501c3. And this includes a long trail of paperwork with the IRS, but all the funds coming into the organization are tax exempt and the donations are tax deductible, a huge benefit for donors.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you guys had some challenges to overcome, but you definitely addressed those in your work so far.
Okay.
So you talked about kind of what made you interested in hunger. Are there any other issues related to that, such as like food waste or food access in food deserts or things like that that drove you to this?
So I think that food waste is one of them.
Yeah, food waste is definitely a really big problem. I know at our mentorship program that one of my organizations does at a local elementary school, we did an activity with our students, their third through fifth grade students, and we're demonstrating to them how much of our food is wasted from production to the consumer side. And I was really surprised to find out how much food is wasted. And I know a lot of them were too, because one of the issues with hunger is that the food that we do have doesn't get to the people who need it. So how would you say the FarmBot relates to sustainability?
Well, actually, kind of relating to the food waste that you were talking about, it kind of cuts out that middleman of going to the grocery, the grocery market, and all that gas that is used up to get there, to get the product to the store, is that kind of an environmentally issue that can be resolved in that way.
Yeah, we know that when food is in landfills, it starts to give off methane gas, which can contribute to global warming, right? So that's not good. So it's great that your project addresses that.
Yeah. And then economically, the robot has an initial cost and very little maintenance costs like seeds and water. And with the extra large version of the FarmBot, you would see your full investment back in about in your account over 2 to 3 years. And by saving that money that you would have used to purchase that produce from the stores. And then socially, I think that with the proper organizations in place, we can use automation to grow food to help fight hunger. And what would the world look like if everyone knew that they would never have to worry about money for another meal again? And would it directly affect crime rates?
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said earlier, one of the things that the SSC really looks for in proposals, and you'll know this if you came to our workshop where we talked about ways to craft a great proposal, but we definitely always look for projects that address all three pillars of sustainability. And so, as Harrison mentioned, those are things like economic, social, and environmental sustainability. And we often see that projects that hit all three have really more of an intersectional focus and can make more of an impact. So, you know, it's interesting how much biotechnology and agricultural advancements have changed the way we grow and consume food. And so with all those changes in mind, how do you see FarmBot changing the way we consume food?
With FarmBot still at an infancy in technology, I could see that one of the end products becoming a type of FarmBot vending machine that is large enough to supply a neighborhood with their needed fruits and veggies, all at the convenience of across the street rather than however many miles away the grocery store.
A vending machine?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And to give it to produce for all the neighbors in the neighborhood. I think that something on a city scale would be too large to efficiently, I guess, mm-hmm. would be the word, to supply the whole city.
So you think it would be more of like a localized thing where people would be doing their own growing or within their neighborhoods?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. We've definitely seen success with projects like that are related to community gardens. I know in high school I was involved with one, and it was awesome. You kind of just came and went as you pleased, did a little bit of work around the farm, and then you could take some of the items home with you. So that was a great food access resource. So have you partnered with any other organizations to incorporate anti-hunger initiatives?
There's a charity that we haven't partnered with yet, but we have selected to donate to, and it's God's Pantry. Our first donations will be this upcoming spring. I would like to follow our donations actually through God's Pantry system and of operations and see where the foods end up on the journey so I can report on the journey that it takes to get there.
Yeah, one of the big issues with food pantries is definitely that a lot of times the items that people give are items they don't want to eat. So a good rule of thumb, by the way, for donating to hunger organizations like food pantries is if you wouldn't eat it yourself, you know, why would somebody else want to eat it? So it's good to donate like high quality things. And so it sounds like you guys would be able to provide them with some fresh produce and things that would be of higher nutritional value than like canned items, right?
Right. And then I was actually thinking about this the other day with Wildcat Pantry here on campus. They give food, no questions asked, to hungry students who come to the their door. And we want to I was thinking what if we could partner with them to go ahead and come up with a system where we have food available to them by order, and hungry students can get it that way as well.
Yeah, Big Blue Pantry is a great resource for students who require food assistance. I know that some of those students, they just accept students, no questions asked. So if that's a resource that you're interested in, you can probably find more information about that on some of UK's websites. So what charity organizations would you see as being like a really good example of how they can impact food? Or do you know of any, or do you just hope to find out more about those in the future?
There was one that I was actually looking at recently called Food Chain.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to say a shout out to Food Chain. So a little bit about them. They are a 501c3 nonprofit that is the expert on bringing fresh food to the community with aquaponics. And aquaponics, in a nutshell, is a closed agricultural system where the produce being grown, it filters the water for the fish to live, and in return, the fish provide nitrate for the plants. So Food Chain is doing great with bringing the idea of how to grow your own food with aquaponics by showing the community how they do it. They hold tours on Saturdays at 1 p.m. In Lexington.
Yeah, Food Chain is amazing. They also work with the local community to reduce food access issues. I think it's tilapia, right?
Yeah,
I think that they use that at the Smithtown Seafood that's right next door. And so they're really able to kind of close that loop. And when there's localized farming like that, innovative things like this can really reduce, as Harrison was saying earlier, some of those food waste issues.
And the fish are literally raised on site and they make it right to the plate at that restaurant. And so doing that with FarmBot and the veggies produced with them, I think is a very similar idea that we want to tackle.
Yeah, that's awesome. So kind of moving away from the social and environmental aspects and the economic aspects, for you as a student and your organization's students, how has this helped you to grow? You know, what are the skills that you've learned?
So I can pretty much put on my resume that while I was in school, I created an organization that raised money to innovate an autonomous way to fight hunger in our local community. And so at the very least, it will be a good conversation to have with a future interviewer. But FarmBot.Wildcats is a direct mechanical and electrical engineering hands-on approach to growing food. So students in the organization can benefit from that experience as engineers. And that's the technological aspect of the organization. And we are a real organization, and with any organization, there's a whole bunch of different moving parts. Being the president of this small organization brings a ton of responsibilities that I have been managing myself. I think it's time to go to the College of Business to recruit some students who want to experience some of the business aspects of an organization. And so that's just one area of where we could use more students' help to grow FarmBot.Wildcats and their resume.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm a business student, and I know that a lot of my peers would be interested in an opportunity like that. I know some people who are interested in kind of a startup experience. They really want to bootstrap their way to success and learn those skills that they can apply in their careers, would definitely be interested in something like that. We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back to talking with Harrison about his project FarmBot and his organization FarmBot Wildcats. All right, so you mentioned your goals with this project. What do you see as kind of your long-term goals? You talked about getting a space and getting some bank accounts and this organization with Secretary of State and all that good stuff. Long-term, what's going to be happening because of FarmBot?
Okay, so some of our long-term goals that I would like to see accomplished by my graduating year in 2021 are, A, to have more food produced by the pound for every dollar that has been donated to the organization. And this would prove that FarmBot.Wildcats' vision of feeding the United States is like local hungry communities using automation was 100% beyond successful. This is a huge number, though, and at this moment in time would equal approximately 3,200 pounds of food donated. So with that goal being a little less realistic, our second goal is to have the organization in full swing where I can leave and know that the future students of the University of Kentucky will not only be able to continue the organization's production, but that they will further innovate for even better results. And then finally, FarmBot.Wildcats shouldn't be introduced at a university level. We're thinking that the organization has elementary components to it at a level even high schoolers can start working with. So I don't know if they would be trying to further the limits of technology like we'd like to do, but they can definitely start playing with the pieces and growing food for their community as well. So I think that by the time they come to UK, they'll be even more experienced with the technology than we were and have the upper hand at solving problems.
That's cool. We talked to some students earlier in the year about their trip to ASHE, which is a sustainability conference for higher education institutions. It seems like this could be a project that would work really well with that, and maybe you could even present it so that other institutions around the United States could kind of follow suit. All right, so did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about for our listeners to know about your project?
I just wanted to mention that if any of our students wanted to contact us, of course, they could always email our organization at farmbot.wildcats@gmail.com. And we're always available there for any questions or comments that they might have.
Okay, great. Well, it has been a pleasure talking with you today. And if you don't want to talk to listeners about, if you don't have anything to add, then we will finish up.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, well, Green Talks is going to be taking a short break over the winter break, but we'll be back when the WRFL spring semester programming resumes. Now that we've finished our last interview for the semester, we're going to get back to some music.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.